It is truly good to be able to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
I would like to say this morning before the sermon that I really do appreciate those teachers teaching our young children. And on that note, I would also like to say I am glad that mine are grown. We have two questions this morning, and we're gonna answer these questions. And parents, I want you to know that I didn't write them. All I'm doing is answering them. It is good that our children are in class, and some of the material that we cover, it is going to generate questions. And not only are these questions for them, but also for us, that because we never know what type of questions people are going to ask. Question number one, and I'm going to save the kids' name, but I'm not going to call their name unless they really want me to. You want me to call your name? Raise your hand. The first question, they know who they are. Let me just make sure they're looking. Yeah, she's looking. All right, question number one. Why didn't God put a sword of fire in the beginning by the tree of life? Why didn't he do that in the beginning? That's the question. A very good question. Very simple answer. God had already given the command to Adam in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. I want you to think about your question. And I want you to think about the times that your parents tell you not to do something, and you do it anyway. And you probably wonder in your mind, why did they not hide the cookies from me? Well, they didn't hide them because they thought that you would obey what they told you to do. But the next time they baked those cookies, they put them up because they didn't want to, you know, spank you again as they should have the first time. But that is the reason why God did not put the sword of fire in the beginning there. Because he wanted man to obey him. Wanted man to obey him. The second question. Very good one. Why do people say that their mom made them? Why do people say that their mom made them? Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. This is basically where do babies come from. Babies come from moms. Babies come from moms. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. It takes two, a man and a woman, for a child to be born. Man does not have that child. The woman has the child. The wife has the child. Verse 17. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived, and bare Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. Verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. There are many sons and daughters sitting in the audience today. The man and the woman did what God authorized them to do because they were husband and wife. The woman conceived and the child was born. That's why people say that their mom made them. Now, if any parents are teaching anything else, I would say that you need to quit letting your children read the Bible. because the Bible is going to teach them the truth. Amen. And as the truth is being taught, we need to continue to teach it to our children the way it is written. We should not leave it up to the schools to teach our children about sex education. We should not leave it up to the world to teach our children about sex education. These things need to be taught in the home. And if they're not taught in the home, rest assured they will be taught in the church, because it is about Bible. So thank you very much for those two questions. And during the teachers' meeting on next week, we're going to address some things. Next point is the sermon. The question is asked, why?
Why?
Why? Very simple question again. Why? Why do we not have a church kitchen? Why do we not have a church kitchen? We're going to answer that. As we answer it, we're going to look at why we don't do several other things, or why we do several other things. Because these are questions that need to be answered. These are questions that need to be answered. We have so many different people that teach so many different things and never give Bible form. We're going to do what some do not. We're going to give you Bible. And we want you to look in your Bibles, and we want you to search alone, study alone, follow alone. And at the end, if you have any questions concerning this, feel free to ask. Feel free to ask. Why? This lesson was borrowed from Brother Rader. I'm going to let you know that now. It's not mine. But the scriptures all belong to God. All belong to God. Oh, sorry about that. I was going to try to get it going. There we go. The use of a church kitchen. A lot of people say, well, you have communion. You have communion trays. Where do you clean those? We don't have a kitchen that we go and prepare the Lord's Supper in. We have a back room. We don't have a kitchen where we wash the trays. We, you know, go back and forth to get these things washed. Some have a little wash basin in there, in the place where they prepare the communion. Have a refrigerator in there where they can keep the grape juice, you know, in the refrigerator so it doesn't spoil, go bad, ferment, whatever you want to say. But it's not a kitchen. It's not a place for taking care of needy saints. See, there are some congregations that have a food pantry where if a needy saint come around and they want to feed them, give them some food, they do that instead of having to go and ask somebody for things that the people have already brought in. This is not the work of the church now. Amen. It's individuals. Amen. Individuals. But the communion prep is not prepped in the kitchen, and there's not a place what we call a kitchen to wash those utensils or those items there. What we are talking about is the church providing a place for meals and social and recreation purposes. That's what we're talking about when someone say, do y'all have a kitchen? Do y'all have a recreational place? Do y'all have a fellowship hall? This is our fellowship hall. Because we are fellowshipping one with another in worshiping God, not eating a common meal. We have to understand that. This is the problem that we have with people. They want to satisfy their own needs. They want to do their own things. This is not a place where we're going to come in between services and have cookies and donuts and coffee. Now, if you've never been in a place where they had a kitchen and they prepared those meals there, or they didn't prepare them there, but they brought them there, and they was back in the back room simmering in the kitchen, and all you could smell was food throughout the, what we have here, a fellowship hall, all you could do is smell that food. Your mind is not going to be on God's word. You know, I've sat next to some of you and your stomach's growl. Your mind is going to be on that food. Ooh, I wonder what Sister Sally brought today. Ooh, I smell that whatever they cooked. I know it's hers, and I just can't wait to taste it. See, this is not why we come. We do not come to have a social meal together. After we finish worshiping, we go to our respective places and we have a meal. But not here. You know, we don't take the Lord's money and say, let's build this fellowship hall or this family life center or this multi-purpose buildings. We don't do that. The question was asked the other day, reference to some of these multi-purpose buildings about the gyms and all these things that they have to offer, the weights. You know, you just pay just a little bit of money and you can come and you can exercise over here at First Tabernacle, New Testament, whatever you want to call it, denominational group. You can come over here, but make sure you bring your money and pay for these things. Now, if it's for the community, it should be free, I think. That's my thinking now. But if you're going to go and pay your money to something like that, you're supporting that work. And we know how we, as being members of the Lord's church, how we feel about supporting something that God has not authorized. Let someone come in here and ask for a handout that's not a member of the Lord's church. You'll see how fast the brothers will say, hey, this is not the Lord's work for us to write you a check or give you money out of the Lord's treasury. And it is not. It is not. You as an individual, Brother Brian and I was talking the other day about the YMCA and Young Men's Christian Association, and said we really don't know where that stemmed from, where it came from, so that pricked my mind. I need to go and look this up before I say anything about it. It was back in the 1800s. A man from overseas decided that he wanted to get something community-based and put the kids' focus back on some type of religious background and give them some type of structure. Didn't find a church name attached to that. Now, I'll say that's a good work. For that man to say that he wanted to get the kids off the street and he go and he build this thing that was established, this thing that's called the YMCA, to get the young men off the street. I say that's a good work. I've always thought about doing something like that myself. I just don't have the funds. Just don't have the funds. And it's not the church's responsibility to build those things. So we have to understand that. Eating in the building, the issue. The building is not sacred. This building is not sacred. Let's understand that. We do not worship this building. We come in this building to do what? To worship God. Not the building. You want to eat in the building? What am I going to say? Am I going to tell you no? If I tell you no, you know what that's going to say? That's going to say that all you teachers, all you people that give people candy, that they can't eat candy anymore. So we have to put a stop to it, right? And we say that we can't eat in the building. As the brother said when we were at the forum over at South End, preacher been working all day long at the building, you know, and my hat's off to any preacher that spent all day in the building anyway. Okay? That he eats his lunch there. If we say that we can't eat in the building, he can't eat his lunch there. He has to always go out to eat his lunch. Or eating on the property. Can't even do that. That's not what it's about. Can the church have a common meal for social and recreational purposes? I always say, when you start talking about something like this, you have to be very careful. People call it fellowship meals. And there are certain foods I don't eat. But we're going to have a fellowship meal, and you put this food before me? I said, no, thank you. I'm not fellowshipping you then, right? If we're going to call it a fellowship meal. Now, I've actually showed out in somebody's house because I ate something that I didn't like. What do you think I do in a big group of people when I eat something I don't like? You know, it's not that I did it on purpose. It's just it was a bad taste in my mouth, and I showed that. And I apologized to the lady, and she said, "No, that's all right." She said, "I should have warned you first." No, I should have asked first. So it's not, you know. What we call fellowship is not what the world calls fellowship. It's not what some of our brethren call fellowship. So let's be very careful with what we say we can do and what we can't do. Why do we not have a church kitchen? There's no Bible for it. No authority for it. And we're gonna look at some things. You're going to say, well, they did that. They did this. They did. They did. Not us. They did. How do we determine what is authority? By the Bible now. How do we determine these things? A command or a direct statement, a proved example, or a parable, or necessary inference. That's how we prove it. Well, we're going to prove some things on this morning. In Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Looking at verse 13. Now, I already know we're not going to finish this lesson on this morning. Letting you know now that you can come on back this evening and get the rest of the story. Acts chapter 13. Or 15, I'm sorry. Acts 15, starting with verse 13. Looking at the command and direct statement here in Acts 15. And after they held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, said the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Can you see the command there? Those individuals that they wanted to turn to God. He says in verse 20, or verse 19 and 20, wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. Where in there do you see where he told them that they needed to be circumcised? You don't see it, do you? Don't see it. But he did point some things out to them that they did not need to do. And if they did not need to do those things, they keep away from them. Verse 12, going back up to verse 12. And all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Declared these things unto them. Sure. You know, this example of what went on. You got the command, you got the example. Then verses 7 through 11, the necessary inference. You know, we have to do something and take what is there and teach it the way it is. Verse 7. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth their hearts, bare them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, and which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be saved even as they. Everything works according to God's word. Everything. Everything. The Lord's Supper. We just partook the Lord's Supper just a while ago. Why? Because we have a command to do so. We have a command to do so. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. A command. You know, there's nothing like a good command to follow. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." A command. Take, eat. What are you going to do? You're going to say, "Well, no, I don't want to do that." It's a command. It's something that Christ said do. So if Christ said do it, we need to do it. It wasn't just for the Corinthians. It's also for us today. Because we know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died. We know that he instituted the Lord's Supper. And we see where they did it in the first century. And we, you know, say that we do what they did then. And that is why we do it today. Because we want to stay close to God. And then we see again in Acts chapter 20 verse 7. Acts 20 verse 7. An example of some doing it. Acts 20 and 7. And upon the first day of the week, when disciples came together to break bread. You see it? Upon the first day of the week. Not on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. But upon the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. So we have the example and the necessary inference of when we're supposed to do it and all the other things that go along with it. Coming together as members of the Lord's church. If you have no command, if you have no example, if you have no necessary inference, guess what we need to do? We need to leave it alone, don't we? We need to leave it alone. To authorize the change, the church to arrange, support a common meal for social and recreational purposes. You don't have it. You don't have it. We do it on an individual basis. If you want to have everybody over your house, so be it. If you want to invite everybody to a special place where you say, you know, I'm going to treat everybody, so be it. It's not here. It's not here. Let's look at some commands. In 1 Corinthians again, chapter 11, we find where we're supposed to eat the bread, the Lord's body. Well, how many of you, if Brother Butch would come around with the bread in his hand, how many of you actually take some? Brother Butch and maybe Theotis. Maybe Thanopolis, because they're brothers. Maybe a couple of others, but I don't know many people who want to do it. We have plates for it. We have plates for it. Just like when you're sitting around a table and someone say, "Pass me something." You don't just, you know, pick up a handful of peas and throw them at them, right? You pass the dish over to them. So we have the bread in these trays. Let's talk about baptism in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. When Jesus told his disciples to go out and to teach and to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Where do you think they were going to do that? It had to be much water. It couldn't be, well, no. We need much water, so we have a baptistry now, right? But we can baptize people. What about the ark? Oh yeah, we got the heaters in the baptistry too, for those of you that don't like cold water. What about the ark? In Genesis chapter 6, verse 14. When God told Noah to build the ark, he told him what to build the ark out of. He told him how to build the ark. But you know what he had to do? He had to get the tools to build that ark. And he did it the way God said do it. And this is what we need to think about when we start contemplating and asking the question, why come you don't have a church kitchen? Why come you don't feed the hungry? Why come you don't house the needy? If you want to, do it. But it's not the church's responsibility. It's not the church's responsibility. How about singing? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Singing, making melody in your heart. How do we do that? Now we, Anita and I, and others that have come, that have not been here, for years and years and years, you sing some songs that we don't know. But you know what? We can read them. We have a song book to help us to know the words of these songs. That's an aid to make sure that things are done decently and in order. It's not an addition to God's word. God tells us to sing. He don't tell us to sing with instruments, but we have a song book in order that we can follow along. And then those men that have gone to singing school to perfect their voices, they have the little tuners that they blow in to get the right pitch. That's just an aid. He don't blow that thing all the while everybody else is singing. He just get that pitch and then he put it back in his pocket. And then everybody starts singing. Everybody starts singing. What about the contribution? Brother Lewis going to take up collection today. He going to go around with his pocket. Y'all just put all the money right there. Everything going to be okay. You know, Brother Lewis is retired. You retired from the Navy?
Yeah.
Retired Navy man. Gets a retirement check then, you know. But that means Brother Lewis may have some money. Now, do you want your money mixed up with Brother Lewis' money? Well, I can rest assured if a brother walked around with his pocket open and he's collecting the money, when he get back to the county, he's going to say, no, that was mine. How do you know that was yours? So you don't want that, do you? So we got plates where we collect the money in. We pass the plate. We don't pass the pocket. We pass the plate. So you got a scripture, a command for the collection. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. But what about these meals and these social events? What is the purpose behind them? I've seen and I've heard about, and I've been on a church league baseball or softball team. They act just like those people in the world. I've seen it. I've been there. I didn't do it, but I was on the team with the church's name on the shirt. Bad business. Bad business. Bad business. You don't have any scripture for it. So, if you don't have any scripture or command to do it, we don't need anything to aid us in doing it. We can take that money and do something else instead of building a kitchen or a fellowship hall. The question, where is the authority? Now, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the authority. It's not the work of the church. We keep saying that. It's not the work of the church. Well, what is the work of the church? Brother Daniel and I, we were talking about the work of the church, and we looked at the evangelism part and the edification part, and we said we're going to save the benevolence part until it gets cold. Well, this time it's cold. It's past cold. Phone calls, yes, they're coming in. Can you help me pay my rent? It's not the church's responsibility to pay people's rent. They come off the street and say, I'm cold and this, that, and the other, and I need my LG&E bill paid. It's not the church's responsibility. So you know what I took upon myself to do? I took upon myself to call the local organizations that help with those things, and I give them their number. I say, call this number. And you know what these people can do? They can do something that a lot of us can't do. They can research to make sure that they didn't pay their bill last month. And if they did, they're going to say, well, sir, we just helped you out in this situation. It's not the church's responsibility. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Evangelism. That's what we want to do. We want to teach people. You know, we don't want to, have people to come over, and this is my experience as well. Whenever there's a potluck meal going on, like on the third Sunday or whatever, that's when you have the most people. Because people like to eat. They like to eat. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou art to behave thyself in the house of God. which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. We need edification, or we need evangelism, don't we? We need someone to proclaim God's word. We need someone to go to different places to teach God's word, to preach God's word. That's what this evangelism thing is all about. And it is the church's responsibility to make sure that the word is being taught. We have a radio program that comes on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday from 2 to 2:30. It's a work of this local congregation to evangelize the city of Louisville. And Brother Butch, sorry, the whole city can't hear it. They're working on that down at the radio station. But for those of you that can hear it, and those that listen that are not members of this congregation, it is evangelism. And trust me, if you never did it, it is a good work. Edification. We want to be built up. We want someone to say good things about us. We want someone to make us feel good about our worship service. So therefore, we uplift one another. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. The work of the local church. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted together by that which every joint supplied according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying, how? Of itself in love. Edification. That's what the work of the local church is about. And then the benevolence part. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 16. Now we do help some people out now. Don't get me wrong. But they need to be members of the church. Amen. 1 Timothy 5, 16. If any man or woman that believe it have widows. Well, wait now. You say it's the work of the church, but what is Paul saying? Let them relieve them. And let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. You got a family member that needs some help, you need to help them first. Amen. If you can't help them, then the church can. But the ones that they can really take in and help on a regular basis is those widows indeed. But trust this. There are some people that are able to help them that will not. That will not. Which makes it the work of the church. And the church has to do that because it is commanded to do so. Again, where's the social reparation? Where's the scripture for it? Where's the scripture for it? People always say, well, show me where I can't do it. No, you show me where you can do it. You show me where you can. A church kitchen. It's not evangelism by no means. When I'm eating, I'm not trying to teach. I'm not trying to preach. I'm just eating. Edifying. He ate all his food. He put it all on his plate. He should have ate it all. But that's not what it's about, is it? That's not what it's about. It's not the work of benevolence. It's not the work on benevolence. If we had a place where we had all these meals, there would be a whole lot of people lined up to get them. But they will not want the edification nor the evangelism. So if we're going to do one work, we need to do all the works. We do not have a church kitchen. We do not have a church kitchen. Well, I'm not going to bore you anymore this morning. But we're going to pick up right here on this evening. Because I want us to realize and I want us to understand. Brother Ray, yes, he's our brother from over at 36 in Garland. He came and he and I, we sat for about an hour, a little bit more. And Brother Ray said he didn't know about these issues. He didn't know about eating or having a church kitchen, a about the recreational halls and the social gatherings that they have. He said he didn't know about these things. But I just said, well, brother, let's talk about them then. And he mentioned that over at South End. But that wasn't the only thing that Brother Ray said he didn't know about. Brother Ray said he didn't know about the social gospel. You know, a lot of times we are involved in some things where we really just don't know what it's called. Brother Ray came from Florida. He stated this. This is no secret. And I'm calling Brother Ray's name because I already talked to him. He came from Florida where Washington preaches, and Washington them, they you can go on their website. I can't remember the name of the congregation, but I will get it for you. Where they talk about how many they fed on Thanksgiving. They're proud of how many people they fed during Thanksgiving. They got this money from the church treasury because this is talking about the work of the church. Now, if Mark want to feed 15 people come from Valentine's, that's Mark's prerogative. He can do that. But the church is not going to do it. We're not going to say, well, let's go get 15 couples off the street and let's feed them. We're not going to have a Valentine's Day dinner. You know, all the ladies cook for their husbands or the husbands cook for their ladies. We're not going to have that. That's not the work of the church. But people say that it is and people do it. Why? They say, well, we have it. We might as well use it. Why do you have it in the first place? Well, we're gonna sponsor all these youth baseball and softball and basketball teams because we have the building now. Well, how come you didn't use that building for evangelism? You know, why come you didn't use that money to evangelize? To help spread the gospel instead of, you know, the social gospel. We want the truth to be taught. We want the truth not only to be taught, but we want the truth to be received. And when the truth is received, we want the truth to be respected. God's word is truth. And if we do not teach it and preach it the way it is written, we will be held accountable. And if we do not live it the way that we have been taught because we have seen it, we will have to give an account for it. We will have to give an account for it. So let's do what's right. And let's make sure that when we start teaching something, that we have Bible for it. That was a brother that was given a message to preach on the Baptist church. And he got up and he said, you know, I'm up here and I can sit down because the Bible says nothing about the Baptist church. But see, that's not what people want to hear, is it? They want you to show Scripture why the Baptist church is wrong. They want you to show Scripture why there's not a church kitchen, or why we're not authorized to have a church kitchen. Only Scriptures I can show you is what we have authority to do. What we have authority to do. And instrumental music and a whole lot of things go right into those categories. But we have to make sure we do it that we have Bible for it. And we know that if we have Bible for it, it will be acceptable unto God. If you're here this morning, you're not a member of the Lord's church, we ask that you contemplate on where you want to spend your eternity, in heaven or in hell. And if it's heaven, we're asking you to come forward to make the good confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Have your sins washed away before it's everlasting too late. According to Acts chapter 2, verse 47, praising God and having faith with all the people, the Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. Maybe you're here and you're straight away and you're ready to come back home. You're ready to come back and be back in the fold, be back in fellowship with us once again. That opportunity is yours to come as well. As we stand and sing the invitation hymn, we ask you to please come.